test. The Lord God has given me his servant the tongue of disciples as one who is taught, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not been rebellious, nor have I turned back. I love that Todd has every service opened with that. Father, we thank you that your word says, wherever two or more are gathered in your name, that you'll be here also. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome you into this place tonight. We just pray that you'll have your will and your way, that you will accomplish in the lives of each and every person here that which you foreordained that would happen in this place tonight, Father. We just look for you to move, Father, in a wonderful way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So my message tonight is entitled, God's Still Small Voice Among the Noise. Prophetic people have different kinds of conversations. They talk about what God has said to them. My spiritual father, Peter Van Niekerk, used to come over here from South Africa for 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And we always had a special day that was set aside as a Doug and Peter day where we could just talk. And we'd frequently go for walks around the lake on the Harbison walking path. And one time I asked him a question, and he changed my life with his two-word answer. And I asked him, what is it that you desire most? And his answer was, his presence. His presence. He hungered for the presence of the Lord throughout everything in his life. But what do we do when we can't sense his presence, when we're not hearing his voice? Is it because he isn't speaking? Or is it because there's so much noise in your life that you can't hear his voice? One of those prophetic conversations I was talking about, someone said to me, the second that he drinks alcohol, he can no longer hear the voice of the Lord. He can't prophesy. He can't hear from God and give a prophetic word, because the alcohol shut off him hearing from God. And I thought about it when he said that, and I said, what else is there in our lives that's shutting off us being able to hear God's voice speaking to us? When I know I'm going to be called upon to minister, I frequently will not eat before the time of ministry. If you hear something growling, just ignore it. We can all go to Waffle House and have a low-carb meal afterward, okay? But I don't want my senses to be dulled to the Holy Spirit because I'm full of something else. My son Jonathan is famous for his turkey comas after Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner. He actually talks about looking forward to his nap after Thanksgiving dinner and Mama filling him full of turkey and Christmas dinner and his turkey comas. But we don't want to have a turkey coma when God is calling us. We want to hear his voice. When we talk about the scripture verse about a still small voice, Elijah had a lot of noise in his life at that moment. If you remember the story, one of the most dramatic things that ever happened in the Bible, Elijah had spoken the word of the Lord, and there was neither dew nor rain for 2.5 years. And then he threw down a challenge. The World Wrestling Federation had nothing on Elijah. He challenged the 400 prophets of Baal. And they wailed and cut themselves and all the stuff. You guys know the story. And then he wet his wood. And God came through because God told him he would. And fire rained down from heaven. And it was one of the most wonderful things that has ever happened to a prophet, that God honored and responded to the prophet's word. And Ahab had to go home and tell Jezebel what happened. And Jezebel sent word to Elijah, what happened to my 400 prophets? That's exactly what's going to happen to you tomorrow at this time. And Elijah was slap wore out. And he became fearful. And he hid under a bush and said, God, I'm just ready to die. Take me home. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be loved as much as Elijah was, that God actually sent him an angel and said, hey, wake up. You need water. You need bread. Here's food. And Elijah woke up. It was fed, nourished, and went back to sleep. And that happened twice. And then picking it up in Scripture, where he said that, he arose and he drank, and with the strength of that food that the angel had gave him, he went 40 days and 40 nights walking across the country as far as Oreb, the mountain of God. Then he went into a cave and he spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing, Elijah? What are you doing? Has God grabbed your attention and said, what are you doing? And he says, hey, God, I've been zealously doing everything for the Lord God of hosts that you've asked me to do. But the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they want to take my life. He was having a pity party. He called down fire from heaven, and then he's having a pity party 40 days later. And God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rock into pieces. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And when Elijah heard that still small voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And the Lord said to him again, what are you doing here, Elijah? There was a call upon him. There was a mantle upon him to be obedient to something. And what was it that God called him to do? Well, some of the most significant things that happened at that time happened immediately after that. God called Elijah to anoint this one king here and this one king here, and call Elisha to be his successor. There was a lot of, and put the rest of the false prophets to the sword. There's a lot of really big stuff that happened after that. God had a whole lot for Elijah to do. But he was too busy having a pity party. Well, if it can happen to Elijah, it can happen to us. I've been guilty of having pity parties, haven't you? So, you know, he had a lot going on. But we have so much stuff to distract us in our life. You know, I don't know about you, but these things can be a major distraction. And you know, we're getting notifications all the time. What if God sent you notifications on your phone? Hey, bud, your client coming in at 1 o'clock was recently widowed. She just needs to hear that I love her and that she's not alone. How about if you got a text message like that? Your 3 o'clock appointment, he just got a devastating diagnosis from the doctor. I'm sending him your way so you can tell him that, Lord, I've got this. I'm still in control and I'm still in the healing business. Hey, bud, stop thinking about what you don't have and give me praise for what I've already given you. Hey, bud, remember that Isaiah told you, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he's near. Hello, I'm here, I'm near. You know, just imagine if Jesus was sending you texts. Guess what? He is. If we just listen for that still small voice. Oh, by the way, there's somebody else that's trying to send you messages, too. The devil's a telemarketer. He wants to sell you something that you don't want, you don't need at a very high price that you can't afford. But they have this new call screening service. Have you all heard about this new call screening service they've got? Instead of the person answering the phone, you hear this recording. Please announce who you are and the purpose of your call, and we'll let the party that you're calling know. And the devil's like, yeah, dude, it's the devil. Pick up, will you? I need to remind you of all the mistakes you've made so you'd be too discouraged to try anything else. Do we need a spiritual call screening service so we don't get those messages? And, come on, man, pick up the phone. Yeah, dude, it's me. It's Slewfoot again. What's with you screening all my calls lately, man? You know, I just want to remind you that you're dirty, dude. You know, God told you, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. That's you he was talking about. And yeah, I'm not picking up your call, Satan, but you left off the first part of that verse where God said, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What if God is sending you notices and you weren't listening? How do we get past all the news flashes and the texts from the wife and the kid and the customers and everything else and drown out all the noise so that we can hear that still small voice of God that's speaking to us? Because just like Elijah, everyone in this room has a gift. They have a calling upon their life. They have an agenda that God wants you to accomplish. His agenda, heaven's agenda. I spoke over Billy earlier, the same two words that were prophesied over me many times. The gifts and the callings of God will never be revoked. And a person's gift will make room for him. But we have to be obedient, turn off the noise in our life so that we can hear God's still, small voice. Those of you who are my Facebook friends or know me personally know that my best friend Chip passed very unexpectedly last month. And it about killed me. It really did. Chip was always a brain. He got his PhD in biochemical genetics. And my wife used to love when Chip would call me once or twice a week on his way to the gun club. He retired down to St. Augustine. And his thing was going to the gun club all the time. He got me shooting sporting clays with him on a regular basis. But he would call me, and we would talk about the deep things of God, deeper conversations than you have with most people. And we would challenge each other, and we would talk about politics and the other stuff of the day. But it was always from a way where we were challenging and exhorting and encouraging each other. That's what you want from a best friend. And like I said, it really killed me. He was a senior triathlete. You know, he did long distance swimming and cycling, and he often would ride 100 miles a week on his bike. That was the three. That was his big deal, and run 5 miles. And a 90-year-old guy, without slowing down, ran over him on his bike. When Ann went to pick up the bike, the cops wouldn't give it to her because they thought they were going to be dealing with a murder scene. And he recovered from that, but he had a traumatic brain injury. And then last year, he fell, just an accident, but he hit his head against the wall and then fell and hit it on the corner of the nightstand and had another traumatic brain injury. And it resulted in injury-induced dementia that was coming on. And he was sharing with me how difficult it was as somebody whose brain had always been so sharp that now he was having challenges remembering stuff. And when he and I were having some of those deep conversations, I said, you know, remember when this or that? And he says, I'm sorry, man, I just don't remember, or I don't know how to respond to that. What was always just right there was just out of his reach now. And I can remember how agonizing it was as he shared with me that he didn't have the ability to tap into the resources that God had always given him as a smart guy. It made me think about how difficult it would be, because he was talking about clarity. He didn't have clarity of thought anymore. How difficult would it be for us if we no longer had the clarity to be able to hear God's voice when we opened the word that God didn't speak to us? When somebody spoke a prophetic word over you that was the word of the Lord and everybody else in the room would agree with it, and it just meant nothing to you. Can you imagine how difficult it would be if we weren't sensitive to the presence of God? So going back to what Peter sensed, at what I said at the beginning, what is it that you desire most if you're like my friend and mentor and spiritual father, Peter? If you're truly seeking his presence, then let's just talk about something practical. Prayer is intended to be a two-way conversation. I love the current song out there. It's before I bring you my needs, I bring you my praise. But when you have a two-way conversation with somebody you're intimate and that you love, there's a flow to that conversation. And you have to get into that flow so you can hear the Father speak to you. You don't always need a prophet to speak to you. You don't need to have a verse jump off the page. If you just listen, God will speak to you. We don't always have angels speak to us. I was telling our new visitors that my wife had an angel speak to her one time, you know, and that was significant in her life. But God has spoken to her many times as she just went before him in her prayer closet. We want to cultivate a quiet, expectant heart. The longer I walk with God, the more it reminds me of marriage. I've been walking with Jan for 44 and a half years. I've been walking with Jesus for 47 years. And there's an intimacy in those relationships that's parallel. I understand why God wants us to be his bride as we walk in that. God caused us to crave intimacy, both with him and with our spouse. We have to have time set aside for just us two. We can have real conversations in both of those cases that we can have with no one else. And if we go too long without those intimate conversations, the relationship loses some of its intimacy. And it takes hard work and conscious effort to get it back. So, wrapping up, I've got a couple scriptures that are in alignment with what I was saying to you. John 15:4 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." If we're abiding in him, we have that intimacy that I was talking about. In Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to be in a place where God has to come to me from far away. How about you? But in that circumstance, he did. He says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." That's God fulfilling his promises to us. One of my favorites is Psalms 42. "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" So in closing, I want to say that I'm very thankful to our worshipers. You did a wonderful job in setting the table for the message that God would have me bring tonight. But I thought about an old hymn in the garden. "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known." Amen. We got a new mama in the crowd. Number 5. "The Lord says that the child that you carry shall not be like his brothers before him. But the Lord says, I'm setting him aside, even David as youngest was set aside in his family for a special purpose. And the Lord says he's gonna have a hunger for an intimacy with God. And even as the young boy had to be told by the prophet how to listen for the voice of God, as mom, your job is going to be to teach this one as he's hungering and thirsting for an intimate relationship with God, as we spoke of tonight, to hear. So even as a young boy says, I am here, your servant. Speak to me, O Lord." May I give you a word? The Lord says that you're my zesty salad dressing. My favorite title on my wife is Mama Jan. She's 1 of 6. I'm 1 of 6. My son married number 5 or 6. We were told we couldn't have Anne. I'm very glad to have the one I got. But she's been spiritual mama to a lot of people. And I can see that that's you as well. And mama's put in front of us all this good and healthy stuff that doesn't necessarily taste good, but we're supposed to eat it anyway. But you bring the zest that brings out the best flavor in the people that you're ministering to. You're my zesty salad dressing, says the Lord, that people who would resist those things that are good for them, you show them how it's good for them, and you bring out the best in them so that they can partake of that which the Lord is putting before them. And the Lord says, I've given you a spirit of discernment that you can see what's right, what's wrong, what's of me, what's of the world, what's of the enemy. And the Lord says, I charge you to utilize that gift that I've given you in an even a deeper way that you've done in the years in the past. You've walked in that for years, but the Lord says, you have a greater anointing to walk in. You've got a greater place in the body of Christ that you can accomplish the things that I have called you to do, to warn some, to bless others, but to tell them what it is from a discerning standpoint, that thing that God is telling you. Luann, You have a David anointing. You've known that. You fought your lions and your bears. You've slain your giants. You danced in the streets. But there was a point where David began to walk, in his case as king, in the full authority that God has called him to. And the Lord says, you're coming into a season in your life where the people around you are going to acknowledge the authority in which you speak. And as you speak, the word of the Lord is going to be life-changing for people. And many who would not receive it in the past are going to receive it now because they can't help but acknowledge that the anointing of the Lord is upon you. And that as you speak, you're not speaking in your own flesh and your own power, but you're speaking his words and his power and his anointing, says the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Doug. That was good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good job. So once you've knocked out the noise, it's just dying on me.
The noise has arrived. Just right quickly, as some astonishing happened to me over there, I glanced over at my sister over here who was expecting, and that word that he gave is the exact same word that I got sitting over there. And I was almost word for word. But I want to add something too, as well to this. This child also will grow up and will be a vanguard for you. He will watch over you and protect you in ways that will amaze you. He will have a clear, keen sense of the power and the knowledge of God. He will be a tremendous intercessor. And he will stand in the gap for you and intercede for you and reach the throne of God in a way that will absolutely be astonishing and powerful. So I say yes and amen to this word of what God has intended for this child that you carry. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, the Lord's already been here. Amen. It's been moving in our midst. And as you can see, there's such a variety in the body of Christ. There's so many ministers in here. You know, as some of you have not met or new here, I'm a coaching background. And so I've done that all my life. And so when I look at people, I see potential. And there's so much talent in the room tonight. There's always talent here, but we got a lot of talent here. And so I recognize and I acknowledge that you're ministers here. And so that's my perception. And that's where I come from. That's my arena. That's my wheelhouse, as they say. And so anything that comes out, I'm always trying to point out what the Lord's saying. So once the noise is removed, you're hearing his voice. And you're hearing in a clear way. Well, you're hearing his voice for yourself and for your life, but you're also hearing your voice for other people. And you're called to other people, and your congregation is everybody that you know. Your responsibility for your flock. And so you have to look at your flock. Who is your flock? And spend time in intercession and in prayer. And so it's very important that you recognize that you're, this is a divine appointment for you tonight. So whatever words come out, you know, we record everything here, and so you can always go to our website and get your words, and it's very important that you get those. In fact, today I'm selling my daughter's car, and she had a cassette deck in that car, and I have all my prophecies from back in the 80s, all in chronological order. And it's on this cassette tape that just gets older every year, and I'm just always hoping it doesn't break. In fact, it's hard to play them now because you don't make anything you can play them. And so I said, I've got to get in my car. I've got to get it recorded on my phone. And so I threw it in there, and I started going through them. And it blew me away and brought me to tears in a lot of ways because all those things that were said over, you know, back to 1982, many of them have come to pass. And they're from different people, but it's all in harmony. It's like a song that's being played. And so the words that you get are very important, that you get them and record them and listen to them. Because if they're from the Lord, it's very important that you have this, because when you play those back, it really means something once they've been fulfilled, and the ones that haven't been fulfilled. Because when you get a word from the Lord and it's fulfilled, and there's other things that that person said that have not yet come to pass, that can be very encouraging. Because the Lord wants to get to you messages. He wants to, just as he did with Jesus before he was even born. There's always words, just as David got and so forth. You know, God always gives us kind of a preview of what he's going to do and how he's going to develop us. And it's important to get those. A lot of people say to war with your words. But going through those, I think I had to go through it about 3 or 4 times. I got it recorded and the tape didn't break, thank God. And it did come out, and now I've got it digitally recorded. I'm putting it in a couple of different places. But on my way out here, I didn't know if I was going to make it out here tonight, because on my way out here, I thought it was going to come out of my body. I literally, Lord just kind of showed up in my car, and that still small voice that my brother was talking about started to speak into me, but my heart literally wanted to jump out of my body to tell him how much I loved him. That's like that expression you have in prayer in that time where you know he's there, that manifest presence of God, that intimacy that he was just ministering on, talking about. It's there, and that there's no vocabulary within our own mind, our finite mind. There's nothing that can express the love that we have for God, but our heart can communicate it, and it's something that you can touch him with. And so that intimacy is very, very important. And when the noise is removed and that time comes, that connection, that presence that he was talking about is there, that's the best times on the earth. There's nowhere else to go. And that reality comes to the heart that there's nothing that you want to cling to here, nothing. You only want is him in the future. That you and I have with him is beyond understanding. And to embrace that, and that's when the joy of the Lord really comes. And joy is not a feeling, joy is a power. And my car was just saturated. I didn't know what was going to take place. I thought maybe I was going to have that third heaven experience, because I've had the Lord show up many times, but nothing like this. And so I'm glad that I'm here, at least I think I'm here. you know. But I'm thankful for that moment. So I just want to encourage you. So, but knowing that the noise is removed and that you're hearing from the Lord wants to move through you. And one of the things that we're seeing kind of dissipate in a lot of the churches is nobody's really moving the gifts of Spirit, unless a lot of these pastors aren't. Probably because either they don't, or they're too busy trying to build their own kingdoms and try to collect people. So it's just like shooting fish in a barrel to the enemy. Sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I am being serious, okay? Because the Lord's coming back for a glorious church, a mature church. That's you. You are the church wherever you go. And I would encourage you to start home meetings, do ministries, whatever it is that God puts within your heart, go out and do it. Don't let any spiritual donkeys, don't let any church structure hold you back from your mission on this earth, because you'll give an account for that. You're going to give an account for your mind. You're going to stand before the Lord one day, and he's not going to bring your sins up. What he's going to bring up is, did you do what I sent you in this earth to do? Did you accomplish it? And some of you tonight are going to be refired and rekindled. God is rekindling you tonight. You came here for a purpose, and now God is setting a fire within your midst. He's reminding you of the time. He's reminding you of your call. And it doesn't matter what your lot in life is right now, that call still remains. And one of the things that the power of God does through us is he moves through us with words. I'm in 1 Corinthians tonight, and in chapter 12, we're going to start there. And verse 7 says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You have the manifestation of the Spirit. Is the Spirit of God manifesting through you? Okay. Have you a recent manifestation that has come through you? I want you to think about that and take an assessment of what's going on in your life right now. Because if some things are dormant right now, I'm not here to knock you. I'm not here to upset you. I'm here to stir you tonight. I'm here to stir you. Because that manifestation is very, very important. Each person in here has a manifestation of spirit. Your mission on this earth is just as significant as anybody else's. Whether you're a Billy Graham or whatever it might be, it's just as important, okay? What about the person that raised the donkey for Jesus? He probably, I don't know, we don't know if he had, the scriptures don't tell us. Maybe he had a visitation of an angel. Maybe he just heard that the Lord wanted to raise this, you know, the Lord's going to ride on you one day, you know? You have no idea what you're going to do. The creator of the heavens and the earth are going to ride on you, you little donkey, you know, and raising up that donkey and petting that donkey and feed that donkey. You got a purpose. I know you're a donkey, but you got a purpose. You see, everything is significant. And that one day, you said, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. All of a sudden, somebody shows up. The Lord has need of you. Oh, here's a donkey. We've been waiting. That's all we know about. That's all the scriptures give us. But we don't know the backstory behind the donkey. What's your backstory? I don't know your backstory, but God does. Psalm 139 says your life has already been written out. And if I prophesy a word over you, all I'm doing is reading off the book something that's already been written about you. And that's cool. I like it when the Father opens up those books and sends a servant to read it to us. So everyone has a manifestation. It says, to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another one the effecting of miracles, and to another one prophecy, and to another one distinguishing of spirits, to another one various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as I will. No, as he wills. As he wills. So when you hear the still small voice, you're in communication with God and your hearing ear has been refined through a series of training exercises that the Holy Spirit has put you through. And as my brother was sharing about cutting out the noise, you can cut out the noise when you realize a lot of the noise is really there for a reason, for you to understand how the Holy Spirit is training you in each situation. But when you become a person that's totally obsessed with serving the Holy Spirit, then you serve him in the trials, you serve him in the storms, you serve him in your relationships, you just simply serve the Holy Spirit. And a lot of things come at us to try to get us out of our game with serving the Holy Spirit. So if there's any kind of distractions or any kind of anxiousness that goes on or attacks me in my life, and I have this happen from time to time, I have to take a step back and realize, wait. If I'm anxious, then I must be out of my game, or I've got to get back in there. And so it happens to all of us, and that's okay, but you don't try to stay out there too long, because the further you stay away, the more the enemy tries to build that house of getting you so concerned about this life here that we're supposed to lose. So everyone has these different, and I want to talk about two specific gifts tonight, because I believe God wants to stir these two gifts in you. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to choose to give you these two gifts here tonight, that you would utilize them and walk in this. These are two very important. There are many different gifts, but we're just going to spend time on just two gifts tonight. That is the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, when people categorize them, they're power gifts. There's the gift of faith is a power gift. The working of miracles is a power gift. The gifts of healing is a power gift. Then you got the revelation gifts, where you've got the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. And then you've got the vocal gifts, which is prophecy, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And so the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge are revelatory gifts. They're very important gifts, but they almost seem simultaneously they're very similar, but yet I want to give you a distinction of the difference. A word of wisdom is directive or direction, where the word of knowledge is informative. And so when you get information from a word of knowledge, the word of wisdom many times will piggyback on it to give you direction on how to use it or how to impart it. They flow together. And a lot of things you see demonstrated here, you'll see a lot of words of knowledge that go forth, and some is prophecy. Sometimes it's very difficult to pick it out because a lot of times, even in words that are given out, at least that I've given out, sometimes there's healing in those words. I'm not aware of it. I don't sit back and think in my head, well, that was a word of wisdom or that was a word of healing. What was that? I don't have time to process all that in my mind. But these are all supernatural in their origin. They don't originate from anything that you learn. They're not human intuition. They're supernatural. These are power. And when they manifest, they always serve a purpose and they always do one thing, and they point that individual right straight to Jesus. Not to you, to Jesus. And it's very, very important that you understand that, because a lot of times when things move through you like this, people will tend to come to you and be drawn to you, which is not necessarily a bad thing as long as you're pointing them to Him. And you recognize and realize that this is simply a gift that was given to you, and you're the delivery boy or the delivery girl, and you just be faithful on giving those gifts out and to be obedient to the Lord. Because I tell you right now that God has been speaking to many of you here, and you have not stepped out. You've held back because there are people that are in need that are around you. And it's very, very important. So I want to go through just a couple examples of this gift in Scripture. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's go back to 1 Kings. We're talking about Elijah, so this is Elijah or Elisha, one of the, I think it's Elijah here. And this is a word of knowledge that comes to Elijah, and he had just got done ministering to Naaman, who had leprosy. And, of course, he told Naaman what to do, and Naaman does this, and he gets free from his leprosy. And so Naaman, because he's so grateful, wants to give him some money, he wants to give him some gifts, he wants to just shower him, say thank him. And, of course, the prophet of God says, I don't want any of that. But Gehazi, his servant, is by when this is being offered, and he's thinking, why aren't you taking this, Elijah? I mean, something's stirring in his head. And so he gets an opportunity where he's with Naaman, and he's going to go ahead and take some money from him. And so he does. And verse 25 in 2 Kings 5, verse 25 says, "But when he went and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, 'Where have you been, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Your servant went nowhere.'" You know, this is how the stupidity of Gehazi is just unbelievable. Yeah, it's not like he just met Elijah and today. I mean, he saw some pretty, he knows he hears from God, okay? And when he asks him that question, then he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive clothes and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever." So he went out from there, from his presence, as leper, as white as snow. So he gets a word of knowledge. That was a supernatural revelation. So, "Did not my heart go with you?" He said, "My spirit go with you." And so these things sometimes happen like that, where the Spirit of God will give you revelation, but it's always in a situation where the power is about to be released, because designated gets the word of revelation, but then he makes a declaration and it gets a direction on how to implement that word of knowledge. In this specific case, he gets, releases leprosy upon him. Let's flip over the page there. 602, in verse 8 says, "Now the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled, and his servants," I'm sorry, it's verse 8, chapter 6, I was being funny. "Now the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled in his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.' The man of God sent a word to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you are not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there.' The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, so he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing. He called his servants and said to them, 'Will you tell me which one of us is for the king of Israel?'" In other words, who's spying? Who's telling Israel where we're about to be? And one of his servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who's in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." Now talk about a reality show that would be funny, is to hear that. Because I guess Elijah's telling everybody what the king's doing in his bedroom. So that made the king even madder. But it's a word of knowledge that he's getting. And so this is something that was demonstrated in the Old Testament prior to the Holy Spirit being imparted into the believers. And so I just wanted to point that out. Now, let's go to John chapter 4. Now, some of these words of knowledge are interesting because they always, sometimes it's like a common event, you know, that people, that Jesus is even getting. So I'm in John chapter 4. In verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you're being a Jew ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And she said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do I get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whatever drinks of the water that I will give shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him, it will become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." And he said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you said truly." And the woman said to her, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." So he gets a word of knowledge. And what happens in this word of knowledge is he's pointing out a lot of things. He tells her that she's had five husbands, and the person that she's with right now, living with, by the way, people live with each other all the time. They're not, he's kind of pointing something out there at the same time, but he's giving her what's going on through a word of knowledge. And the result is this woman goes back and tells the village, "Come see a guy that told me everything about my life. Is not this person the Christ?" And so there's always a demonstration of people being drawn unto God when these words of knowledge are put out, or there's always some type of demonstration. And many times it can be in the form of judgment, as we just read, but sometimes it's just in the area of ministry and drawing people close to God. So in John chapter 11, it's another example here of Jesus. Start at verse 1 here. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, in the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. His brother Lazarus was sick, so the sisters sent word to him saying, 'Lord, behold, whom you love is sick.'" Now here's this, when I point this out, this is where you're going to get the word of knowledge, and then a word of wisdom is going to direct Jesus, okay? And so Jesus, even though he is God in the flesh, okay, is still taking orders from the Father. Why? He is demonstrating to you and to me how we should operate with the Holy Spirit. Jesus only did the things that he saw the Father doing. He only said the things that the Father told him to say. He said his teaching wasn't of his own. He said that when the word came to him, he made a judgment, and his judgment was just, it was righteous, because he didn't seek or consult his own will. His only desire was to please the Father. And so he got words coming to him, thoughts, just like you and I did, but he was able to discern them, as we talked about the still small voice. He recognized the voice of his Father. And so he only did the things the Father told him to do. And so you have to understand, when you're reading the scriptures, you have to understand that that's exactly how he is operating. He's demonstrating to you and to me how to walk in the Spirit. And this is something that everybody has that potential. And so when Jesus says, greater works ye do because I go into the Father, the reason the greater works will come through the bride of Christ is because of this very thing that I'm telling you. Because we get to a point of maturity where we hear his voice and we just do what he says. Now, can you picture a church that is saturated and planted and salted all over this planet of people who actually hear God and do what he says when he says to do it, what that would look like if God said to do one thing one day all over the world? What would that look like? I want you to understand that the picture of the church is not God going down the street, oh, there's a church, there's a church. No, he's looking at the world and he sees his people. Jesus never built a structure, did he? I never saw, he never could have done it. I mentioned he had a mega church. We have to understand what's going on in the world, saints. We can no longer be fooled by a lot of this foolishness that's going on. We are to make disciples, disciples unto him. If people are equipped in the power of the Holy Spirit like you are, you can go out and make a real good dent in the devil's territory, believe me. The people that are around you, that are around you right now, are specifically there for you. And you need to learn to move through three levels of discernment where God shows you what's wrong with situations, he shows you what he's going to do about it, and then he empowers you to go and do it. You must go through those levels. But when the noise is off and you hear his voice, it becomes very clear. Your path becomes clear. That's what we talked about. The way is narrow and few that find it. Three levels of discernment. You see what's wrong. You see what God's going to do about it. And then he empowers you to do it. And many times, when especially in ministry capacities, that those levels will come, at least with me, if you'll see me move over different people, sometimes it goes through like that, just immediately. Sometimes I'll see an individual, I'll walk away from here, and I just spend time in prayer over their life. I don't give them a word. I've got to have empowerment, because otherwise I'm just, it's nothing there. If there's no power, you know, the word of the kingdom of God is based on what? Power, not word. Words. A lot of words these days. A lot of words going out. So, let's read on here. So, when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death. Oh, so, excuse me. Verse 3 says, so the sisters sent the word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified by it. That's a word of knowledge. He's not there. He doesn't know exactly what happened, okay, in terms of like through somebody says that he's sick, but he's pointing out to here that the Father had spoken this to him, so he's just simply relaying it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. He's being directed by the Father. Father said, stay here, don't go. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now, he got his marching orders. Then his disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again? So he's got the orders from the Father. He's okay. He's not listening to his disciples. He said, well, the Father sent me, so I'll be fine. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 day hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Jesus is the light is the light of the world, obviously. And obviously, too, he realizes that where he's going, the light is going with him. So he's protected. In verse 11, then he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go so that I may awaken him out of the sleep. He gets the word of wisdom. He gets the directive. The Father shows him. And my Father could have shown him this way before he even started talking. He could have shown him that in prayer. I'm just pointing out to you how the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom work hand in hand. There's a directive. Jesus is giving knowledge of what's happening with Lazarus, but he's also given direction of what to do. And then in verse 14, he says, so Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. And so we know the story. He goes there and the power of God raises Lazarus up. In Mark chapter 2, verse 5, And this is about the paralytic, and you know the story where they came in and they I don't know if it was Peter's house or whatever. A lot of people think it was Peter's house. And they're ripping through the roof and they're dropping this guy in that's paralyzed. And an exciting meeting. I mean, you know, you never know how become paralyzed people might start coming in here. And if that happens, just know this, it's everybody, all hands on deck, by the way. You know? It's everybody. Everybody has to be involved in something like that. So anyway, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit, he's gained a word of knowledge, that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and pick up your pallet and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins, I say to you, get up and pick up your pallet and go home." He gets a word of knowledge, he gets a word of wisdom and directive, and then empowerment comes and a miracle occurs. And so these gifts are all working simultaneously together. The reason why I'm honing on these two gifts of the words of knowledge and words of wisdom, because God wants to stir that up in everybody here. And when he stirs that up, the rest of the stuff starts to follow. This is something that probably many of you are already moving in. You may not be aware of it. But see, when you walk, when that voice, that still small voice, is operating, the noise is down, all of a sudden now you're sensitized to the Spirit of God, but also the sensitized to your surroundings and the opportunities that may arise. There might be a work prepared before the foundation of the world that now, normally, because the noise is up, the noise is down, you won't walk past it. You'll walk towards it. Mark chapter 6. Verse 35. This is another place where he gets a word of knowledge and he's direct. He says, "When it is already late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This place is desolate and it's already quite late. Send them away so that they may go home into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he said to them, 'You give them something to eat.'" He gets a word of knowledge. He gets a direction, okay? "He said to him, 'Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them to something to eat?' And he said to him again, 'How many loaves do you have?'" Where's Jesus getting this information from? You see, that's what I'm trying to point out here. He's in a situation. He is tuned into the Father. He isn't speaking his own words. Everything that came out of the mouth of the Son of God has to come to pass. You must understand that. If he was said, "It's tickled me to death," it would happen. Why? Because it says in the scriptures that the anointing was given to him without measure because he only spoke the words of the Father. And so he's getting this information directly from the Father. He's not just saying that of his own. He's saying what the Father is telling him to say. And I want you to see this, because this is the disciplined life of the walk of God for you and for me. This is our objective. This is our goal. This is what we're heading towards. We may not be there yet, but we can aspire. We can desire more. You have to desire more to get more of the Lord. He who has shall more be given to him, because he's using what he's got. You have to desire more. This place is desolate. And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And when they found out, they said, 5 or 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. So he's commanding them. He's getting direction. He's getting a word of wisdom. Command them to sit down. And he's just simply following the Father. And then it says in verse 4, "And then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves and kept giving them to the disciples to set them before them. And he divided them up in 2 fish among all of them. And they all were ate and they were satisfied." Luke chapter 19. verse 5. No, well, let's go to verse 1. And he entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable to because of the crowd, for he was a small guy, small in stature. He was short. He wasn't very tall. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Where's he getting that information? It's a word of knowledge. Now, the reason why I'm pointing this out is sometimes we think words of knowledge are only like ministry capacity stuff. It's basic stuff. I mean, it is. It's like, just like that. I'm supposed to go to your house today. I'm supposed to do this. I love this. I love this stuff because when God, when the Holy Spirit breaks this stuff down to us, we start to realize I'm getting words of knowledge. I remember the other day I had that thought to go over and do that, and that was God speaking to me. The reason why I'm going to point this out, because when you start to realize that you are getting words of knowledge, this is encouragement. I want you to hear this. You've got to be encouraged. You've got to hear this today. God wants to encourage you. You are getting words of knowledge all the time. Once you begin to identify the still small voice and the noise is cut out, now you can move and have success in your ministries, and you will hit the target. You're an arrow in the hand of the Lord, and he'll pull you back and hit the target every time because you're now in his hands. It's a sensitivity. You're not going to get this message in a series, I'm telling you, folks. Nobody's going to talk about this I'm telling you, this is, God is, okay. All right. He's saying, stick to the message, son. I got your back. I think you guys are firing me up. I think that's what it is right now. Yeah, I know. I'm reading your book. Reading your notes is what I'm doing, probably. Amen. So let's go on here. Let's see Acts chapter 5. Oh, that's why. I know why you stopped me now. Acts chapter 5. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, had sold a piece of property. So they sold a piece of property, and prior to that, the verse before that, they were selling stuff and they were sharing it with others. So everybody, you know, had their needs met, and it was a lot of things going on. And of course, Ananias and Sapphira are going to jump in on that bandwagon, and they're probably rich, and they're going to sell this land, and they're telling them they're going to bring all the profit in, but they had other ideas. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter gets a word of knowledge. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Not only does he get a word of knowledge of what he did, he gives us insight to what went down. He says, why did Satan fill your heart? So he's getting information of exactly how he was deceived. So Ananias had an issue because he was listening to Satan in his mind, or however Satan did it. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land? And this is the church in Jerusalem, okay? And this happened here. It says, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. And so he's sitting there listening to this. And the next thing, and as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came all over and heard it. Now, I'm sure that Peter didn't realize it until he was down. You see what kind of power was going on? And I want you to see this church, because the army of God is going to be feared. in this earth. Jesus isn't coming back for a church that's crippled or without power. He said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church because the church is pounding down the gates of hell. The church is to be feared in this earth. When the nation of Israel was marching around Jericho, you know they were afraid inside there because they had already heard of what was going on. And you get the picture of this. Jesus is coming back. Then you look in the book of Revelation, his eyes were a flame of fire. He is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, which represent the seven churches, and he is piercing and assessing his church in power. And he tells them, he critiques them. Some, the things that he said there, we need to read and take note. They are afraid. Why remained unsold? Some of the price of the land. And go down, and he says, and they heard these words, and I fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard it. We read that. That doesn't even do justice to probably what people were experiencing. I mean, people were freaking out over this. They probably, a few didn't attend after that. But not only did it get, it was not only known in the church, it was known outside of the church. And the young man got up and covered him up, and they carried him out, and they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, and tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at her feet and breathed her last, and the young man came in and found her dead, and carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And here's the result. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. So you see, when you see these manifestations of the power, of the words of knowledge starting to come and power attesting it, and when these things start to increase, because they're on their way, they're already here, but they're going to be increasing. Understand that this is something that is to be taken very seriously and not be nonchalant about it, because the words of knowledge are going to come through you will carry power within them. And we'll see some of these demonstrations. I'm not trying to scare anybody in here. I'll tone it down a little bit. I just want you to know this. Don't say so you know that you've been, you know, that somebody told you. So I was able to think about, I wanted to go through just some things that had happened to me just recently of words of knowledge. It's hard for me to, it happens all the time. So I just wanted to point out just a couple. There was a woman who had gone through cancer, and she survived it, but they saw some more stuff, and she was really, you know, it really shook her bad, and she was, it just seemed like she had one thing after another thing after another thing come at her. And so she calls me up, and I was driving somewhere, and she calls me up the phone, and she goes, I've got to go in, and I want you to pray, and right now, and pray for me, and then tell me what God's telling you. I mean, she really put me on the spot, and I pray, and then she really starts, you know, what is God telling you? And so, you know, there was some noise there with that. The prep, I said, you know, I said, look, I'm going to tell you what I thought. I'm just going to tell you. I said, it's not what they think it is. And they were basically for sure thought that her cancer had returned and that type of thing. So she goes in. I mean, it's just like this is 20 minutes before she got to the hospital or whatever she was going. So she goes in there, sits the doctor. Doctor, sit her down. And Dr. Smash goes, look, it's not what we thought it was. Exactly the words that I had. I said, that was a word of knowledge. I didn't come from me. I know it didn't come from me because that was pressure. And I mean, here, I didn't want to tell this lady something. I didn't want to say anything. What I wanted to do is do the old cop out, say, well, you know, I'll pray for you. And I don't have anything yet, but I might get it later, you know, maybe in a day or two or maybe in a year. There's a part of me that wanted to avoid this, but I realized, you know, I can't avoid this. Do I hear him or do I not hear him? This is a divine appointment here. And you know, I don't have to say, thus says the Lord. I just told her what I was in my spirit. And it turned out to be true. Many times you will be in situations just like that. And I'm telling you, saints, God is with you. He is with you. You know, I'm very careful. I always caution people that teach the prophetic, be careful when you say, thus says the Lord, to be careful with that. I mean, if God tells you, say it, you say it. But just be careful with it. I was in Czech Republic, and this was some years ago. I know I've shared this here before. We have new people here, so. And I was just having dinner, and there was a lady sitting over here. And, you know, and the Lord said, go tell her that she's been praying, but she doesn't know my name. Tell her my name. And tell her I'm going to use her with women's rights. And I'm sitting there, and you know, it's kind of—I thought I was going a little crazy there at first. And I said, "You know, God, wait, that was just a strange thought. That has to be the Lord." And I'm thinking, "Well, she doesn't speak English. I'm going to go over there. I can't speak Czech." So I go over to her, and I go, "Excuse me." And she did speak English. It was a little broken. And I told her, I said, "I'm from the United States. I'm over here for competition, and I just want to tell you that." That the Lord told me to come talk to you, and he said, you've been praying to him, but you don't know his name. His name is Jesus. And he also told me to tell you that you're going to be used mightily and with women's rights. And it's exactly what she was doing. It's just a word of knowledge. And God confirming it, but also pointing directly to him. And see, that kind of, when you bring a word of knowledge to a person like that, a personal message to an individual, they realize that God, who created the heavens and the earth, cares that much about one individual to bring that word to a person that wasn't even from their country. When I first moved down here, this was recently I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think I had a little bit of some Bible under my belt, enough to make me dangerous. I think it was in 82, 83, maybe it was 84. Anyway, I was down here and driving around trying to find a party. And I look off to my right, and there's a big party. I could hear it, you know, from the street. It was like a field before you got to this house. And I said, well, I don't know anybody. I'm just going to crash it and go in there. So I pulled off, and I'm starting to walk over there. I'm looking for a party. And there's a drunk girl that's out in this field. I mean, she's drunk, and she's lost her keys in a field of grass that's all this high. And I'm sitting there, and I come up to her, and all of a sudden, I had words of knowledge going on in my life before I moved down here, before I was baptized in the Spirit, didn't recognize him, but this came to me. And so I came up to her, and I go, do you believe in Jesus? And she said, Jesus. I go, I tell you what, if I find your keys, will you believe in Jesus? And she looks at me, she says, yes, I will believe, because she was desperate. And I'm thinking, okay, show me where the keys are. You know, I'm walking around. I look around. All of a sudden, boom! There they were. I reached down and I held them for a while. And I walked around. I remember I didn't show her right away. And I go, I want to tell you something. You remember you said you believe in Jesus? If I showed you your keys, she goes, yeah. I go, I showed them to her, and I said, you believe? So we led her to the Lord. A word of knowledge. I have to look back. That was a word of knowledge, and also there was directive to it. So I just praise God for stuff like that. That was This is one of the things that stood out. Another thing, I was in a home group where the people that were holding the home group did not believe in deliverance, did not believe in demons being casted out of people. They thought it was a psychological thing. And here I am in this home group, and I was very young, very immature, and didn't know a whole lot. But there was a girl at the end, and we were praying for, everybody wanted to pray for her. And so I was sitting there, I was going to pray with her too. And so we all get around, we're going to lay hands. But as I get up there, I heard in my spirit, don't lay hands on her. And so I didn't. And so I stood back and didn't lay hands on her. And then after they were done, I had another thought come to me saying, tell her that I don't drive, that I lead people. I lead. And so I said, God doesn't drive, he leads. And so I'm talking to her, and she starts to break down in tears, and she just leans over and she tries to hug me on both my shoulders. And so she got real near me, and so I just sat there, and underneath my breath, I just said, I had that thought, get off her in Jesus' name. And no one heard me. I mean, I said it really quiet. And to my surprise, and everybody else's surprise, she screams three times. Not as she screams three times, she literally goes airborne about that high off the ground, then goes vertical and just drops down like bam, and these spirits just came out of her. And I mean, I was shocked. I had no idea that was going to happen. I was surprised, you know, and I didn't know anything about it. I just thought, well, I'll just put my hand up and act like I know what I'm doing, you know, and I had nothing to do with any of that. But my point is this: I was very inexperienced. I did not even begin to know what I know today, but I stepped out. I'm encouraging you to step out. I really am. There are people that need what you got. You have it. You're gifted. You have it. So, just to kind of conclude the word part, I just want to encourage you that you're here tonight for a reason. The Holy Spirit is here. He distributes these gifts. Evidently, you're going to be encountering some things. So I just want to encourage you to be remindful of that, okay? So God wants to use you. Praise the Lord. God is so good. My sister, I want to give you a word of encouragement. There's a prophetic mantle that rests upon you. And you're a prophetess. You don't know about, maybe you don't know a whole lot about that. Or maybe you do, okay? So you're a prophetess, okay? And you're in training right now. The training harness of God is on you, okay? So you must understand that you're speaking Chinese a lot. Nobody knows what you're saying. And it's been a frustration for you. I want to encourage you, okay? God's going to give you a translator, okay? And so he's going to give you the language. So the words are going to come out of your mouth. They're going to start to be ordered. I see a sequence of events where the Holy Spirit just gives you complete order in the words that you give. But also he wants to give you a practical experience. And so you're going to be thrown into situations like I just shared there. You are going to be, you've already been doing it, but these things are going to be increasing, okay? Because God wants to give you a gift of healing along with your prophetic gifting, okay? And so a lot of the words that you speak, there's healings that are going to take place. There was a woman that came here some time ago, maybe 6 or 7 months ago, I don't know. She came in here, I had a word for her, had no idea she had a rash all through the front of her body, completely disappeared. It has not come back. They couldn't, you know, it always would go away and come back, it's just gone, okay? Now, those are the kinds of things that God is going to do through you, okay? And so there's people that are around you that are contaminated. They're seeing bondages. They're addicted to things. And in fact, you're like the sledgehammer. You get sent into situations where some sledgehammer words come out of you, very strong words that have shaken people to the very core. But yet they're done in love. You're not doing it out of love. You're doing it in love. But like I said, now that you've got a translator, you're going to be able to speak these words in a way that will be received. Okay, because the Holy Spirit is going to smooth out the language. It's going to bypass the emotional end of you, and you're going to be pure word. It's a fresh, pure water. It's going to come out of your spirit. It's going to really water people. And God's going to give a demonstration along with that. And be careful of the spiritual donkeys, like I'm telling you. A lot of people are not going to be, they're just going to try to hold you back and put you in all kinds of, you know, vices and stuff like that. This is a place where you're free here. But, you know, I'm just saying, I want to encourage you, okay? Allow that to start to move and to flow, okay? You're only going to learn through experience, and you know this. And that's why God has moved you out of your comfort zone. You're a person that's in transition. This is not your final stop. Get your passport ready. God's going to have you travel in the days to come. Be encouraged in Jesus' name. My brother, the evangelist right here. Yes, you. Yes, God has an evangelistic heart as God has put inside of you tonight. You are going to have a very strong thirst for the lost. And you're going to be around people that are hopeless. You're going to recognize them, identify them. They are hopeless, where they've done this, they've done that, nothing works, and this doesn't work, but you're going to be sent to them right on time. They're ready to go off a cliff. You're the guy that's going to stop from going off a cliff one after another. You have a ministry to those that are suicidal, brother, and the word that's going to come out of your life is a little lifeline. And there's one that's even close to you, and you aren't even aware of it, but God's, through the word of knowledge, God's going to identify this individual, and you're going to feel the hurt within them. A word of counsel, a word of peace, a word of strength, a word of encouragement. These are the words that are going to flow through you, because the enemy has tried to beat you down time and time again. I see words that have come at you, try to hammer you down, even when you were young, trying to beat you down and beat you down, and you fought and stood back, and you found the Lord, and he strengthened you, and he encouraged you, and now you're to hear today, and you're standing strong. Even the words of the past, as the Spirit of God, I'm going to take these hooks out of your life where the hurts do not hurt anymore. You'll remember them, but they will no longer hold you in bondage, and you will go forward, because God is going to bring you to greater heights than even anybody in your previous family from generations. You will be the one that breaks these generational curses over your family and the history of it, because the power of God is upon you tonight to change this very thing. For the river has now been changed, says the Spirit of God. I'm going to take the course of that river. I'm reversing it by my power, says the Lord. I'm placing within you a word of strength. The words I gave to Jeremiah, his word was like a hammer, and it came out. It's going to come out of you, and it's going to reverse these rivers that have come against your life, because God's hand is upon you in a mighty way. You are never going to be the same again. The dreams that you are getting are now going to make sense, because you've not been able to even interpret them. But God says, I will give you the clarity, and I will give you the information, says the Spirit of God, because I want you to know the things that I have for you, and there are things that are good in Jesus' name. God is so good. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Help is on the way, right? Help is on the way. Praise God. You're an encourager, man. There's a word of encouragement inside of you. It seems like you're always called to encourage when you needed the encouragement. It's like when you're on fumes, then you got to go and encourage. You know, when your gas tank is empty, why? I'm tired. I'm here. Are you watching? You see how they're acting? You see, God is aware of all that. He's filling your tank up today. Patience is a tremendous lesson the Spirit of God works on us. And, you know, just when we think we've been patient enough, he goes, I just want to give you a little more patience. It's not how much faith you have. It's how much faith he has in you. And he's got a lot of faith in you. Sister, I want to tell you something. You have got the structure and of a house of God such as none before. You are not only you're given to hospitality. And that's very important to God, by the way. Just so you know that. Sodom and Gomorrah paid a heavy price for not being hospitable. And you are you got hospitality all over you. And now that you know that, the joy of the Lord will return in the hospitality. Especially the people that don't appreciate it. They're the ones that are targeted. And the more they become unsettled and the more grumpier they get, the more pleasure you're going to have in serving them, because you realize that is the call, that you are able to put up with people that nobody else can put up with. That is why God has called you to the unloved. Because you know how to love the unloved. And what you needed, you're going to be giving. And God says, as you give out, I'm going to give you more. Not only am I going to heal your situation, not only am I going to restore your situation, I make all things new, says the Spirit of God. So he's got that in his hand. So I just want to encourage you. The Spirit of God's upon you, and that gift of hospitality is a blessing to him. You have touched his very heart, and he's filling you up tonight to give you some strength. This is my brother was sharing about Elijah, and the angel came, and he gave him that special food, and the strength of that food, he was able to carry out another 40 days. Amen. You're almost at the end of the test. You're almost there. Amen. You're just right there. You're right there. Amen. You're going to do it. Thank you, for you're such a blessing. Because you have no idea how strong of anointing that is on you and how much it blesses people. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I hear that word of wisdom coming out of you, brother. That word of wisdom I was talking about tonight, I just see that coming out of you like a river. And God is just going to move through you. That's a word of direction, you know? And when you think about it, you really do like to direct people, right? Well, that's why you're gifted that way. You have that word of wisdom. And sometimes I just see like it's like you hold back just a hair because you don't know how people are necessarily going to take you. Just let it go. Let it flow. God will give you the right words to communicate. You know, the thing about wisdom that you carry, that you walk in, it has the ability to see a situation, how the outcome is going to be at times. And you say to yourself, that doesn't look good. That's not going to work out well. That's not going to happen. That's not right. And God, that's why God has you people who are definitely just, they don't have a real understanding of the word of God. They're like novices in a way. But God will put you around them where I just see you taking them under your wing and giving them the wisdom and giving them some steady direction. But also, too, I just see you really have a real ability to be able to speak to young men. I don't know if you've coached before, if you've got a coach in you or whatever, but I see a coach, God, rising up within you to really minister to men, young men. And these guys are just, they're just like ping pong balls. They don't know which way's up. But you are, I see a word, a really steadfast word that comes out of you that brings them and anchors them to the word of God. You know, you're going to come to them just in the nick of time. You're like a minute man where God will speak to you and you're going to move. And you're going to hear him in a much clearer way as you leave this meeting tonight because his hand is on you in a mighty way. Have you noticed how I didn't bring up any of your problems? Have you noticed how God hasn't shown me any of that stuff? You know why? It's because you learned how to survive. But God told me to tell you one thing. Your portion no longer is going to be survival. For the abundance of God, increase on every side and on every hand, and your eyes are going to be opened up that you've got the treasures of Christ Jesus within you, and you are a mega millionaire. You got more than you need. And when God opens your eyes to see that, you're going to realize, and you're going to see yourself in a total different light. You know, when people walk around and got a lot of money, they walk around a certain way. You're going to be walking like that, but you're going to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords all behind you. Because what you give out, there isn't enough money on the earth that can possess it. And you're going to realize this is going to be reality within you. It's not going to be something that I'm just saying. This is reality. This is God moving through you. Amen. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah, my sister, when you see prayers answered, man, it just brings joy to you. You know, I can just see how God just really moves in your life and through intercession and through prayer. You know, that intimacy of the Holy Spirit is something that you know all about and that you experience. You know, it's the secret place of the Most High God, like David talked about. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall remain stable, shall remain fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. And the power of God just envelopes you and gives you peace in that place. But in that place of intercession, I see the eyes of the Holy Spirit showing you certain people that come before you. Their faces are going to come before you, and you're going to cry out their names, one after another after another. I even see an organization being formed where you actually even maybe take their names, and you write them on paper, and you're organizing it, where your prayer list is now your hit list. Amen? And you see something, you see somebody there that's not acting right, and you write their name down. You're a hitman, in a sense, in the spirit. Amen? And you're going to see the results of this. This is so important. You need to hear this. You're going to see the results of God praying through you. It says to pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And when the Holy Spirit prays to us, he prays that perfect prayer. You know, whether that's in tongues or a tongue of an angel or it's our own language or whatever it might be, it's the Holy Spirit praying through you. And you learn how to yield from in this secret place. And it takes time sometimes to get there, as my brother was talking about, the noise. Because you've got some noise right now. You've got some cymbals. It's like our cat that comes in every night when you're sleeping, you know. You don't want them in there. And I don't, for some reason, cats just don't care about what time of night it is. They're going to come in and they're going to make noise. They're going to do this and do that, you know. And you got some noise around you right now, but I see the Spirit of God pointing that out to you, where you're able to shove it over here and compartmentalize it and realize, you know, what's this going to mean 10 years from now? Nothing. Because where you're going, that stuff ain't following. Amen? Praise God. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. I know you got a Clemson color on there tonight, and you got your head back, but I coached for USC for 28 years, so I'm a little bit opposed to orange, but I never lost to Clemson, so I don't fear it. I don't fear your orange. You're not intimidating me at all. Praise God. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, Stephen moved in some pretty outstanding miracles. He wasn't necessarily a preacher or anything like that, but he moved in the power of God. And you always wonder about that. You know, in fact, the things that he did were just absolutely outstanding. He was serving tables. He was a waiter, you know? And there's something about you that God's going to get a hold of you and move you into the realm of the miraculous. Something maybe you never thought of, okay? It's not me, you know, I don't have anything to do with any of this stuff. It's all him anyway, right? So when you think about miracles, is it easier for God to create the universe or to heal a disease or, you know, I mean, what's easier, you know? And that's what Jesus says. Is it easier to forgive this guy's sins or say, get up and walk, you know? And so, you know, the miraculous is something that the Spirit of God is going to draw you into. It's like, it's so fun. I'm seeing some things in the Spirit about you that I have to laugh a little bit because you remind me of me. But anyway, it's like you're looking over at this thing and you don't realize you're looking at, it's like, is that God? I mean, I see you kind of feeling, is that the Lord or whatever? And also you just get sucked in. And that's the way it's going to be, because I just see you kind of coming up to it where, I don't know about this and I don't know about that. But God wants to give you some convincing proof of his miraculous power. And you're going to see it and you're going to witness it. And you realize you had nothing to do with it, that he did it, but you're going to want to see it again and again and again. You know, it's like something, it's like, you know, an addiction is something you get hooked to because it produces something within us that we want to go back to that. Well, that's the way the things of God are in the miraculous. When you get exposed to it, there's nothing else that you want. And so he's been fishing for you for a while, man. You know, and I just see he's got you hooked in a way, and it's like he's going to bring you right into the miraculous. And let's have a conversation in a year. Amen. I'm excited to hear what God's going to do with you. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. You had something you had to share?
It's a word of wisdom. Actually, I saw and I hear two words. First one is the word momentum. Momentum is that energy that causes you to get moving, right? Can be any kind of energy. The second word is push. And what the Lord is telling me is there are people that he has been trying to get going for a long time in a certain direction. And if you're that person, then you know what he's talking about. There's been something he's been saying you need to change, you need to do. And he says, I'm getting ready to push, because he wants you to do it. You don't have to wait for the push. That was the point. But if you don't get started, then that push is coming because it's something he wants to get done through you. And he didn't reveal to me what or who, so I think it's more than one person.
We had a word here, it was about a couple weeks ago, about heavenly discontent. Is that what it was? Is it heavenly discontent? Holy discontent. And you got it. And a holy discontent is like Nehemiah. Remember, he was obsessed the fact that the walls weren't built. And he was discontented about that. There's a discontent inside you that is actually a calling. It's been there for quite some time, and I see you've done stuff about it, you know. But God's going to rekindle you and refire you. You know, you're the kind of person, well, like, if they're not going to get it right, they're not gonna, I'm going to go do that myself, okay? And God's not going to leave you alone. He's going to put, I just see things coming together for you, but I see a restoration, a revival. It's like a raising back up of something, of a banner that you carried once. And this is a call that's been upon your life, and I see God reviving that and setting up the scenario, the stages for you to be able to perform it. And so I just want to encourage that, because the thing about it is, you're not called to sit on the bench. You're called to be in the game. And not that you want to be on the bench or that you are on the bench. I'm just saying you're called to be in the game, and you will not be satisfied with being on the bench. And you can get into it. You can get into being coached. You can get into being trained, but you want to do the things that God has called you to do. And I see God releasing that in a greater measure in your life because you want it. There's some type of a desire within you that tonight is going to be sparked, going to be rekindled. In fact, I see God even giving a new architectural plan to it. Because sometimes I tried something many years ago, it was actually this thing, but I did not understand my position within it. And so when God showed me on my correct position, remember the proper positioning of each individual part causes growth in the body, in Ephesians. And I see the great repositioning is already going on this earth right now. People are being positioned here and there and there. And you are in that move of God. And so just know what's going on is all a great repositioning so that what comes out of you may flow and have its greatest effect. You're a young man. You're a young man. I keep coming out of my mouth, a young man. I'm a young man too. We're young together, okay? You've got much more time ahead of you right now. So you need to realize that and embrace it and move forward in the things that God has called you to. The wealth of the word is inside you, brother. It's like you're full up to the very brim and you have so much to share. There's a teacher within you that's got to come out. It's got to share that word. And I see God giving you platforms and things like that to where you're able to do it again. But this time it's going to go on to the very end. It's going to be an increase on every side and on every hand. I just want to encourage you in that Jesus name. You've moved in the words of knowledge. God moves through you in words of knowledge. And I just see you guys working almost as a team, you know, time and time again. It's like doctors, you know. And I see you guys working together as a team where, you know, you're going to know the spirits are there, you know. You're going to know what to do with them. And I just see the deliverance of God's hand moving through your ministry as a team effort where God just really moves in a dramatic way through you. I want to encourage you in that in Jesus' name. You know, if no one ever, I wouldn't even be here today. I was in a church once and there was no way I could express myself, you know, and because I came from the athletic arena, I never got church because this guy's my coach up here. Doesn't he want me to be on the team? Doesn't he want me to be part of this? And so when I started to try to be part of it, I realized that I was now, didn't realize I was competing. You know what I'm saying? And so there's something that no one has taken the time to really bring out inside of you what you really are in the spirit. You've had to find that for yourself. But you do know your identity in the Lord, but God wants to illuminate that. So he refires you to be able to be properly positioned aside your husband and to move forward in the calling that God has for both of you. You have a vital part of that. And you have words, the knowledge that flow through you. You've given him advice before and he hasn't taken it and it found out that you're right. And then you've held back and not said things and sat back and just watched it. Well, sorry, I could do that. I could say the same thing to me. but the thing what I'm trying to say is that's going to change. Because in this ministry team, what I see, this you're a vital part and a vital link. You are linked to his ministry and vice versa. He's linked to yours. And you're to move as one. And so these words of knowledge and the advice that comes out of you are going to be quickened of the Lord. Now, he's learned over a period of years to listen, right? Because we're all trained, right? So, it's my wife over there. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I have learned, haven't I, to a degree? See? Yes. Anyway. But the point I'm trying to make is that I really see you guys moving as a team very effectively. Amen. You would be perfect. If there was somebody over here that needed ministry tonight, I would, Paul, you got to minister. I wouldn't even tell you what to do. You already know what to do. But let it come forward. Find a outlet or a place, whatever it is that God's going, and just let it fly. Amen? God's so good. Praise the Lord. Well, let's all stand to our feet. Father, we just thank you for what you've done in this place tonight, Lord. And I thank you for the encouragement, Lord, and to learn how, Lord, to really to remove the noise and to listen to your still small voice. Father, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, you give, you choose, Holy Spirit. But Father, I ask you in Jesus' name now that you would distribute these two giftings. And those that do not have that or have not moved in, I would ask you in Jesus' name to distribute to them tonight. Father, that you would illuminate this crowd tonight, Lord God. They would leave here tonight changed, renewed, strengthened, fired up, Lord God, where the zeal would just consume them, that they would seek you in ways they've never sought you before. Father, I just ask us in Jesus' name, Lord. It says, Father, you're coming back for a mature church. It says in your scripture, it says it has been permitted for the bride to be dressed in fine linen. That was the righteous acts of the saints. Father, the righteous acts, Lord God, that you have prepared before the foundation of the world for each and every vessel that is in this place tonight, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would illuminate them, Lord God. Give them the sensitivity, Lord, to be able to walk that out and to see those in Jesus' name. And Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you so much for being here tonight. We have tasted and seen that you've been good, Lord. If there's anything tonight, Lord God, that's been done by a man or done not of you, Lord God, I ask you to strike it from the record, Lord God, that you strike it from any ears. But Lord, that is which of you, that which is your wholesome, good, pure word, the bread of life, Lord God. I ask you, Father, to bring the rain upon it, Lord God, that these seeds would be watered and that you would give rain to it, Father, and that you would give increase to it. And Father, I just thank you and I just give you all the glory and all the honor. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have faced many mountains, been through trials.